Now, if you have your Bible with you, will you turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? Luke chapter 7. And we're going to read from verse 36 to the end of verse 50. It's Luke 7, 36 to 50. And it says, "And now one of the Pharisees invited Jesus to have dinner with him. So he went to the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. When a woman who had lived a sinful life in that town learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster jar of perfume. And as she stood behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured perfume on them. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner.' Jesus answered, 'Simon, I have something to tell you.' 'Tell me, teacher,' he said. 'Two men owed to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back. So he cancelled the debts of both. Now which of them will love him more?' Simon replied, 'I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled.' 'You have judged correctly,' Jesus said. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered had not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who had been forgiven little loves little.' Then Jesus said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.' The other guests began to say among themselves, 'Who is this who even forgives sin?' Jesus said to the woman, 'Your faith has saved you. Go in peace.'" And that's God's word to each one of us tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, will you turn with me to the passage that we read earlier from Luke chapter 7. If you have an NIV, you'll see at the top of the section 36 to 50, Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. And we're going to look at this sinful woman tonight. And if we read very, very carefully this passage is all about forgiveness. And we see that when forgiveness is given, lives are transformed. And so let's learn from Jesus tonight what forgiveness is all about. And I would like us to look at verses 36 to 40, which tells us the need for forgiveness. The need for forgiveness. And here in the story, Jesus is invited to a dinner party. And this is no ordinary dinner party. It is at the house of Simon the Pharisee. Now, it's very interesting that Jesus himself is happy to go anywhere to meet anyone, whether rich or poor, whether they are reputable or disreputable. And if you look at verse 34, it completely refutes the criticism by some that Jesus just dined with the social outcast. No. He is with the Pharisees this time round. And I'm told that the dinner parties in those days had a very different format from ours today. The guest who had been invited would each recline on a couch and would face a central table where the food was placed. So at this party where Jesus was invited to, they are all lying down on their elbows, munching away and talking about all the latest gossip. And their feet are all pointing towards the wall. Now, these parties were not private occasions. People uninvited would turn up and place themselves around the room or the courtyard to watch and to listen to the guests eating and talking. And here they are tucking into their Tesco's meal deal when a woman comes in and begins to make a bit of a scene. She was a prostitute, a woman off the street. And she stands behind Jesus, and every action she takes is shocking to those who are watching. She begins to cry. She undoes her hair. This was shocking. She kisses his feet, a degrading act as only slaves would touch feet, and finally pours expensive perfume on his feet. Surely a waste of money. What does the host think? Look at verse 39. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she is a sinner." You can almost hear his sneering to her. She is a sinner. He's thinking, what is she doing here? And why is Jesus not doing something? Why doesn't he push her away? Some prophet he is. Can't even tell a sinner when he sees one. That's what Simon was thinking. His thinking was, this woman is a sinner. This woman is a prostitute, a woman of the street. God will not have anything to do with her and her like. If God was going to accept anyone, it would be me and my nice religious friend. We who do our best, do good. But Simon completely misunderstood. And if we think that our entry to heaven depend on how well we have done in this life, we couldn't have it more wrong. Because Jesus is about to spring a shock. And the shock is this: there is no difference between the religious Pharisee and the prostitute. In a sense, yes, they are world apart, but they have one thing in common. Both are moral debtors. Both are guilty before God. And I want you to see how Jesus gets Simon to see it with the story he told in verses 40 to 43. And I'm going to read them again in verses 40 to 43. Jesus answered him, "Simon, I have something to tell you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two men owed money to a certain money lender. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. Neither of them had the money to pay him back, so he cancelled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" Simon replied, "I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled." Now, when Jesus said that, Simon couldn't have failed to see the implication. Both he and the woman were debtors to God. Both needed to be forgiven. In the story, now the two debtors owned different amounts. One owed, if we could talk in our term today, one owed a massive 2 years' wages, and the other 2 months' wages. There is a great difference between them, but that is irrelevant, for both are incapable of paying. Both needed the mercy and the forgiveness of the debt collector. Now, each of us, no matter who we are, needs forgiveness from God. It does not matter whether we think we are better than anyone else. What counts with God is we are all debtors. And so often, we compare ourselves with others and think, well, at least I'm not as bad as him or her. That would be the Pharisee in us. And I heard a prison warder saying, even the sex offenders have a pecking order for how bad their crimes are, so that they can say to themselves, I have offended, but at least I'm not as bad as him or her. We compare ourselves in order to make ourselves feel better. But Jesus said to Simon that there were two debtors, and he said the same to us. We need to admit Jesus' forgiveness. We need to admit that we need Jesus' forgiveness. We are all debtors to God. And so, our first point is the need for forgiveness. But if you look at verse 44 to 47, we see the response to forgiveness. The response to forgiveness. Now, if you read the story very carefully, It becomes very clear from Jesus' story and the actions of the woman that she had met Jesus before. Her actions are the response of a woman who knows she is forgiven and who has a heart full of love for Jesus. Now, if we go back to the story in verses 41 to 43, and if you read that very carefully, the point of the story is very obvious. The one who had the bigger debt loved more. And Simon himself even said it. And the spiritual point Jesus is making becomes clear when we see the action of the woman. Here is a woman who knows what it means to be forgiven. Here is a woman, if I may put it this way, who was at the bottom rung of the ladder and then fell off. Her life was a mess, and yet Jesus forgave her, and her life was changed. How do we know that? Look what happened in verses 44 to 47, and I'm going to read them. Then he turned towards the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I come into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wept my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman, from the time I entered, had not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she had poured perfume on my feet. Therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who had been forgiven little, loved little." And it was not that Simon hadn't seen the woman. He couldn't have failed to notice the woman at Jesus' feet. But Jesus wanted Simon to get the point. There is a huge contrast between this woman's action towards Jesus and Simon. Because in those days, it was common hospitality that when a guest came to your home, you kissed him or her on the cheek. You washed their feet and you put oil on their head. Simon hadn't even shown Jesus basic courtesy. It would be like me inviting, well, let's say, for example, Joe and Jean at the guest to my house. And they knocked the door. And I opened the door. And then I walk away, leaving them to shut the door, hang up their coat, and make themselves something to eat. That's the idea of Simon here. But I wouldn't do that to Joe and Jean. I would give them a good meal. But anyhow, so by Simon's action, it showed where Simon's heart was. It was cold. It had not received Jesus' forgiveness. For the simple reason he refused to admit his sin. He was more concerned to point out the sin in other people as opposed to seeing it in his own life, and his action towards Jesus proved that. As Jesus said, he who had been forgiven little, loved little. But not this woman. She gave Jesus all the attention she believed he deserved. Instead of washing his feet, she wept on his feet, weeps with love and joy. Instead of a kiss on the cheek, she was constantly kissing his feet, a sign of great humility. And instead of putting a dab of oil on his head, she poured the richest perfume on his feet, maybe something like Chanel 6, 8, or 10. Now, don't think I buy Mara Chanel. I go to Waste Buys if I need perfume, but maybe it was Chanel 10 or 8, the most expensive perfume. That's how much she loved Jesus. She knew how much she had been forgiven, and she loved Jesus for it. It was not that her love earned her forgiveness. No. Her love was a response to that forgiveness. Verse 48, therefore I tell you, her sins are forgiven. Wonderful news is that our sins can be forgiven. And I'm going to say something to those of us who are Christians, and it's to myself first. Do we love the Lord Jesus like this? It is only when we come to a deep realization of our own sin, we will respond with deep love for Jesus who has forgiven us. Do we love him? Have we recognized our sin and come to him? How did that woman show her love? In a public act of service. Love is seen in action. And love, if I may put it, springs from the knowledge that we are forgiven. And that is the response to forgiveness. So we have seen the need for forgiveness, the response to forgiveness. And if you look at verses 48 to 50, we come to see the assurance of forgiveness. Now, we may ask, how can we be sure we are forgiven? How would the woman sure? For the one simple reason, the person who said the words in verse 48 and 49. And that's the key, if I may put it this way, that's the key to how you and I can be forgiven. Only God can forgive sin. And the Bible teaches us that Jesus is God in the flesh, come to forgive sin. And in order to forgive us, a price had to be paid. For it cost Jesus his own very life. Had he died on the cross in our place. It caused the cross to deal with everything you and I have ever done and will do. Your sins are forgiven. And surely these are wonderful words. But has it ever struck you why Jesus said these words, your sins are forgiven? Why did Jesus need to bother if he knew that the woman was forgiven? already seen that she knew she was forgiven because she showed it in her, I suppose, in her dramatic display of affection to Jesus at the party. Why did Jesus need to tell her if she knew? Is it not that she needed reminding there at the dinner party as much as anywhere that she was forgiven? Because the truth is, we need to keep trusting every day the cross. Not just at the start of our Christian life, but all the way through, we need to continually trust the cross. Now, I came across a story, and when I read this story, I said, this here just fits. And it's the story of a man who had a 20-year-old Astra Estate. Now, I'm sure you'd all remember the car Astra Estate. Do you all remember that car? Well, he had a 20-year-old Astra Estate car, and he sold it at the auction. And the story was saying that he took it to the auction, and the auctioneer, before the auction, said to him, "I want you to write down all that was wrong with the car and had ever gone wrong with the car." And when he was told that, he thought that nobody would buy this car. And even before the auction started, there was a sign on his car, "Sold." And he was curious. And he discovered that the buyer was an Astra Estate collector. And he took old Astra Estate cars and he did them up. He knew exactly what he was getting, he said. He knew what happened to the car in the past, and he was aware of its present fault, and yet still be willing to pay, knowing what faults were likely to occur in the future. And when you think about that, that is what the cross is saying. Jesus takes you and I on, knowing our past, our present and future failing, and he had paid for them all. His blood shed on the cross looked backwards and forward, and that is why we need to keep trusting the cross throughout all our lives. We have been saved by God's grace, and we live by God's grace every day. And we need that assurance by looking to the cross that we are forgiven, just like this woman. So are we trusting the cross today? I ask myself first, are we trusting the cross today? So easy to think we can manage on our own to try and pay God for what he had done. But we cannot ever repay God's kindness. Who is it that enables us to keep trusting him day by day? God himself. And that is why we need to hear Jesus' assurance of forgiveness again and again and again. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Don't ever think you are too good for God's grace. An honest heart will reveal that thought. Don't ever think you are too bad for God's grace. Just look at the cross and remember that Jesus died for every sin, past, present, and future. Keep trusting the cross today, tomorrow, every day, always. It is by God's grace we are saved, and it is by God's grace we continue. What was it that John Newton wrote? "'Twas grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home." So could I encourage you, as I encourage myself, keep trusting the cross. And like this woman, hear these words of assurance. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Where do we stand? Humble enough to accept our need and forgiveness, or too proud to admit our sin and come to Jesus? And in closing, Jesus gives three lessons from this story and asks three questions: the need for forgiveness, have we admitted our sin, the response to forgiveness, do we love Jesus, and the assurance of forgiveness, will we keep trusting the cross?